All right, let's go. All right. Tim, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, unfortunately, your buddy Lindy Ruff, he was the seventh coach this year fired.
Imagine, they don't do that in the National Football League. They wait till the end of the year, but when it comes in, when Monday comes.
Yeah, they call it Black Monday.
I wrote a few things down. Last year, Vanek had a 2.45 goals against. You know, it's not that... that he underachieved this year. It's that he overachieved last year.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. They go, well, the Devils are really underachieving this year. You go, I think Lindy Ruff had him overachieve last year.
Yeah.
And they had a good goal.
Remember there was a fire Lindy.
Yeah, then they went on a 10-game winning streak, and they said, sorry, Lindy.
Yeah.
And then he was up for Coach of the Year last year.
Yeah, he was in the finals. Jake Allen, then they go out and get Jake Allen.
Lindy Ruff will say, well, obviously it was the goalie, so you fired me. Why didn't you get him halfway through the season?
Yeah. Oh, well, it's the old story, and I said it before, and I say it again. Show me a good coach, and I'll show you a good goalie. And show me a bad coach, and I'll show you a bad goalie. And it worked out that way for Lindy Ruff.
So, Dad, we did a poll on Twitter, X, I guess. I keep saying Twitter. And we asked, who's the MVP so far? We had over 7,300 people vote. And it broke down that 35% said Connor McDavid, and then 25% said MacKinnon, 24 said Matthews, and 15 said Kucherov, and we had over 100 people write in, and most of them wrote Pasternak, who wasn't on the list.
Imagine that. But I still say McDavid is the best player, hockey player in the world. And I still say it till my dying day, and he is, and when he wants to turn it on, he turns it on. He's passing now.
Yeah, I just, again, I like not being, don't want to be a homer with the Leafs, but... like last night, we were watching Montreal and Toronto, which, Sidney, you didn't come over. You didn't miss much of a game.
That was
that was a bad game last night.
That used to be a classic, eh?
But it wasn't last night.
No, it wasn't a classic last night. But Marner's running around, and Matthews was like, he was just invisible last night, and the Leafs just squeaked by. I mean, I just think if Matthews and Marner don't go, that the Leafs are nothing.
So you're saying, you know, McDavid is the MVP, but that, and he's the best player playing, but does MVP always mean the most talented player, or he's the most valuable to the team that he's playing on?
Well, I just...
like, what would the...
McKinnon will probably win it.
Yeah. Well, I can see that.
But you're asking me, I'd say McDavid is the best hockey player in the world.
So, Dad, we were having fun watching the Boston game the other day. And what do you think about that hit on Knives from Marchand?
He got a stick up. He was all set. He was all set and ready for him when he hit him.
Well, that isn't what the announcer said. He
played the role after. When you see a guy coming in and you know you can get hurt too, you always play the role.
Yeah, he was coming down that left side. He saw him. He went to hit him.
Well, anyhow.
So you're saying the reputation does count. I got to tell you, Tim, we watch the games a lot together, and you're preaching the same thing over and over every game. I'm getting pretty tired of it. Well, so why don't you explain to everyone?
Yeah, get it off my chest.
All right, get it off your chest. Other than to Dad and I.
So Matthew Knights, that was the guy that Marchand hit. Yeah. And he gets up, he got hurt. And you could see maybe he got hurt. But he's playing, he wasn't last night in Montreal, but he was playing for a long time with Marners and Matthews. So the Rocket Richard Trophy and maybe the best passer in the league.
Yeah.
So for their first line, he's played 70 games in the National Hockey League and has 11 goals. It's just like the Leafs are saying, we're going to make this guy a hockey player, whether it costs us a playoff round or not, but he's back down. No, I gotta ask you, Dad. Like, if you're Matthews or Marners, or you're some other guys that are playing well, and you see that guy that's played 70, gets almost a full season, and has 11 goals and is plus six, so he's not that great defensively. Do you think the players go like, what the hell's going on?
The players know him before anybody, and I would change the guy after two games. I would give him two or three games, and if he didn't produce, then he'd be gone. And that's why I got fired.
I would have thought you were going to say someone is whispering in the coach's ear.
No. Well, I don't want to say that. No, I would say somebody is saying something.
Yeah.
Like he's a first-round pick, right?
He's got to make someone look good that they're not going to play their first-round pick.
I don't know. He looks awful comfortable back of that bench.
Yeah. Well, so does his assistant coaches. But I just like, again, they knocked him down last game. And here's the thing I we were talking about, Dad. So Bertuzzi's starting to play well, right? He's played pretty good in Boston, but what a fight, eh? He had.
And I didn't know he could fight that good.
No, he's left-handers throwing uppercuts, and he was banging and smashing, and he's starting to come out of his funk. So he has got something with Max Domi. Yeah. They got a little magic going.
Yeah.
So Bertuzzi's playing well with Max, and then Keith puts him, takes him off the line and puts him with Matthew Marner and didn't do anything last night.
Tim is a real Leaf fan.
So, but like when you were coaching and you know, you had a line, say you had, you know, Rattel, Schmatz, and Marcotte, and they were really clicking along, and let's say Schmatzy got on a real roll, like, would you ever pull him off that line
Never. But that's why I got fired. And you have to play the game. A little play the game a little, and I never played the game at all. And that's why I didn't last as 5 years is long enough. I can't say, Tim, that I would leave the line together. I would leave the line together maybe about 3 to 6 games at the most, and then change them up.
So, Dad and Cindy, we'd like to thank our sponsors, NorthStarBets.com. It's Canadian-owned and the best place to play if you're in Canada. They have everything you're looking for, slots, live dealer tables, sportsbook with built-in sports betting insights and analysis, and listeners who already have an account with Spreads.ca, which is their original name, don't have to do anything. Just sign into NorthStarBets.com. And NorthStarBets.com has a new exclusive offer for our listeners. If you sign up now and deposit with the promo Cherry, NorthStarBets.com will match your first bet up to $100. And you get 100 bonus spins on the big wheel. If you get 3 of your suits, you get some big dough. It's not available in Ontario, and offer is limited. And again, we'd like to thank them for all they've done for the Don Cherry Pet Rescue Foundation.
Yes, they helped you.
Yep, that's for sure.
So, Dad, after all the trades and everything, according to North Star Bets, and I think these are the Stanley Cup winning odds.
All right. Oilers are 650. Panthers and Canucks are plus 750. The Avalanche, I don't understand this one. The Avalanche are 850. Stars are 9. Jets are 900.
And the Leafs are 11th. Looking at that, though, Dad, here's the thing that's kind of strange with that is, and this is with the NHL, the way they have the playoffs set up. The Avalanche and the Stars, which are what, 4 and 5 favored to play to win the Stanley Cup, will meet in the first round.
Yeah, that's too bad. And the Leafs are going to meet either Boston or Florida.
Florida. So if you were the Leafs, who would you pick your poison? Who would you?
Oh, I'm not picking them right now.
No, I'm saying who would you rather play if you're Keefe?
Oh, I'd rather play the Bruins.
Yeah.
I don't want to play that Panthers. They're getting too powerful. And here's what gets me: have empty seats in the building.
Yeah. The other night. They're top team in the league, and they're fun to watch. Like, they're a fun team.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand it. And empty seats, too. Imagine they had that franchise in Quebec. Oh, yeah. Boy. You'd never get a seat.
So do you agree the Oilers? Who are you picking? You're picking the Leafs still, right?
Yeah, I'm picking. How stupid am I? I'm picking the Leafs. No. I should say I'm stupid, but... I'm picking the Leafs. I'm figuring they get by that first round. They got to.
That's the thing with, I think that with the way the playoffs are set up, like if you go Leafs, Boston, or Florida, getting by that first round is going to be the hardest part of the playoffs.
Yeah, the hardest part. If you get by that first round, you got a good chance.
So, Dad, Friday was the trade deadline, and those poor guys on TSN and Sportsnet were on the air for, like, what would be, like, 12 or 13 hours?
Just Let's see. They're on a 10, 8-hour. No, it's not bad.
Yeah, but didn't have much to talk about. So, what'd you think of the trade deadline?
Well, I thought that Adam Henrique and Sam Garrett from the Ducks for the first round, I think that's pretty good. So, I think they did pretty good.
Do you... Like, here's the thing, though, that you've always said. You got to be kind of careful, right? Because you're saying the Oilers are on a real roll.
Yeah.
And two of the guys that are helping now aren't playing.
Yeah, two guys aren't playing. Sure. Quiet. The Canucks, they were quiet, didn't do much.
Well, that's pretty good. Now,
Well, they signed Peterson.
Yeah, they signed. They didn't have any money. They could do anything. So I think, though, the big winner to me was, well, we'll get into Vegas, but I think the Jets, they got that Tyler Toffoli. For a third-round pick. And, I mean, he's got almost 30 goals.
Yeah, 26 goals I think he's got. And, boy, oh, boy, when you pick up a guy. But that bothers me that he went from two teams.
Yeah, he's been traded a lot.
Yeah, he's been traded a lot.
That's because everybody wants him.
Who said that?
Larry Hillman.
Larry Hillman said that.
And Dad goes, how come everybody gets rid of you? He says, yeah, but Dad, everybody wants me.
Just to speak on that, I was looking at, like, they have this day in history and stuff like that in hockey. And last week, they said, I think it was 77 or 78, you picked up Dennis O'Brien.
Dennis O'Brien.
And yet that was his fourth team that year.
It's a record.
Yeah, tell us, Dad, when you took him out for a drink and he asked what the game plan was.
I remember when we met him in Philadelphia and he says, what's the game plan? I says, your game plan is to put it around the boards. What? Put it around the boards? That's all you want me to do? I said, when you get it back in the net, just put it around the boards. He says, what if they're not there? I said, they'll be there.
Well, they tell the story when he was behind the net. He almost took off.
Wes McCauley.
No, John McCauley.
Don McCauley.
Yes. Father of Wes.
Threw out John Tortorella yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Dennis O'Brien. We had Dennis O'Brien back then. And it was so ingrained in them that they were going to put it off the glass. And it was one of those deals where they, you know, both teams changed at the same time.
So there was nobody on the ice.
No, there was nobody on the ice. Two goalies were on the ice, and the guys were just changing. Dennis O'Brien got the puck and just rifled it and almost hit McCauley. He says, what the hell are you doing? He went back to him, and he says, what the hell are you doing? There was nobody on the ice. He says, Grapes wants it off the glass. Grapes gets it off the glass.
And that's right. And, boy, you had it ingrained in them so much that Jerry Cheevers, as you know, he loved his horses and all that. He named two of his thoroughbred racehorses Off the Glass and Around the Boards, and that was their registered name.
That was registered.
It's true. I had pictures of both of them. They were at the track. They were at Rockingham.
I think I have the Around the Boards.
And Off the Glass.
I don't have Off the Glass. I have Around the Boards. And he gave me the... Did you give me the picture?
I gave you the picture of the two horses.
Yeah, well, at least they paid attention.
They listened to you.
Yeah, they listened to me.
So, Dad, the Leafs got Joel Edmondson. He's a big, tough defenseman. That'll help them out a bit.
Well, in the Leafs' end, you won't have your head down too long. He'll nail you.
Yeah, but he looked on the bench last night. He's like, what the hell did I get myself into? Boy, as they say, the Leafs played bad last night. But the other one, too, was the Bruins picked up Pat Maroon.
That's because they had no answer for Reeves. And
they need a heavyweight. I'd be careful. I was Maroon.
I'd be careful. If I was Maroon, I would be very careful taking on Reeves because he's ready to go.
So the big thing Friday then had all the TSN and Sportsnet peoples up in arms was Las Vegas again, McCrimmon again. Just you don't know how he does it. He got Nola Hanifin, which was the best defenseman.
Best defenseman.
And he got a guy, and he got Mantha, and then he got Thomas Hertl from and they used the long-term injury for cap space.
Well,
that's pretty interesting, Tim, because they kept saying about something about Vegas cheating and all that. So I said, Tim, what's this all about? So you mansplained it to me, and I thought it was quite interesting. And I thought, well, why doesn't everyone do that?
You know, that's the trouble. Why doesn't everybody do that? That is the trouble.
Yeah. So basically, in a nutshell, what happened is the Vegas is right up against the cap, but Stone's hurt and Eichel's hurt. So they put them on long-term injury, and that takes their salary off their cap.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they were able to get Hanifin and Hurdle, which, you know, were the two best players.
So it freezes up money. Is that it?
Yeah. No, it doesn't freeze up money. It lets money loose.
Right.
And probably Eichel and Stone miraculously will be ready to go game one of the playoffs.
We'll see.
Yeah. I shouldn't say that, because if it's not true, that's not very nice.
But, well, we'll see.
But and Florida, Tampa did that with Kucherov the year they won last. Well, as you said, Dad, they're not breaking the rules. They're just bending them till they creak.
Well, whatever they're doing right.
Okay, Dad, I have a question here from Wolf Fan, and. Oh, he's from Sudbury. Oh, I get it, Tim. Sudbury Wolves, right?
Right.
Okay. And he would love to hear some of the stories about a good old Sudbury boy, Rick Pagnuti.
Rick Pagnuti, I never even heard of the guy. And I understand you were telling me, Tim, that he was number one.
Yeah, he was the first pick in the 1967 NHL draft.
Boy,
LA Kings drafted him. And he never got a shot.
He never got a shot. I remember he phoned me, and I said, no, I got enough defensemen, and I think a defenseman got hurt or something. I forget.
So you're in Rochester.
I was in Rochester.
And he called you up as the GM to say, hey, I'm looking for a job.
Yeah. And Rick Pagnuti, I said, I never even heard of the guy. And he was number one. You imagine if he was number one today. And I remember he was so good. When I first saw him, when he'd shoot from the point, he'd put it in close to his feet. And he'd get it off all the time, and it would skip. Oh boy! I said I got a winner here. Anyhow, I remember one time that John Bendarski, who was his teammate on the other side, the two of them were playing together, and he went in and he pinched in, and Rick stayed on the blue line. He didn't back out a little.
Tipped a pass, Bendarski.
And what happened was the guy took the pass, and then he got a breakaway. Anyhow, the next day we were all in a circle around, and I said, you know, I know everybody blames Bendarski, John Bendarski, for that. And be pinching in and that. And I said, you know whose fault it was? I said, Rick Pagnuti. He almost faded. Anyhow.
I remember he was a big, good-looking guy with black hair. Eh?
Oh, yeah, very good-looking. I remember him.
He was.
And the amazing thing was, that year for you, he had 55 points, defenseman.
Oh, and we were lucky to have him. And he never got drafted.
Yeah, he never got a shot.
So let me ask you, though, with telling that story, that you'd call out a guy's mistake in front of the whole team at practice the next morning.
Yeah.
You don't think that's sort of wrong nowadays, or?
Well, I don't know what it was. But
it's just so hard to believe that you would do that.
Well, Wait a minute, hold it. I remember I said, hold it.
And you set it up pretty good.
I didn't want him to faint, because I think he was going to faint. I says, hold it. I said, you know now to back out just a little. He says, yeah. I said, okay, that's all
well,
I wanted to
do. That would make an impression on the whole team, because if they make a mistake, they're going to be called out in front of everyone.
Well, that's the way to do it.
He had 5 consecutive years of getting 50 points. In Rochester, and never got it. Never got a shot. Because I remember you said he used to shoot the puck kind of like Brad Park.
Yeah, he pull puck in close to his feet, and get it away. And boy, when he shot, you better get your feet out of the way, because his was coming.
Yeah, he kept his shot low most of the time.
Oh,
he
could really. And after about I think about after he retired. He became a fireman in Sudbury.
Went back to Sudbury, yep.
I went back to Sudbury. And
so if he's playing today, how much would he be making?
He'd be making 7 or 8 million. Imagine getting 51 points. And
that's... And again, you know, people, Well, they go like that. But even back then in the American Hockey League, it was low scoring. Games were 3-2, 2-1. Yeah. They weren't like 5-4 games like they are today.
Very, very few 6-4, 8-4 games like that. Very, very few. They're always 3-2, 2-1. And boy, he could just hum a pucky. And that's what I call, when I think of Rick Pagnutti, I think of guy humming a puck.